Good morning. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all. Good morning. I'm Matt. I co-lead here with Matt Hebditch. And this is Becca.
I'm Becca. if you don't know me, I am married to James, and we have a baby called Hudson. And I help lead Chili's house group, and I help lead Connect as well, which is our 17 to 25s group.
Okay, Becca's going to pray.
Dear Lord, I just thank you that we can all meet here as a church family this morning. I pray that we never take for granted the privilege that we have, that we can freely meet and worship you, a privilege that lots of people in the world don't have. And we just thank you for the joy and the happiness in our lives, but we also thank you that you're with us in the tough times as well. And we just pray as we worship here this morning and then go on to a new week, that we can spread your love and share your word with the people that we meet with this week. Amen. I'm just going to read Psalm 16, verse 11 as well, which says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore."
Malcolm's going to come and tell us a little bit about something he's been really excited about and working on.
On the Welton website, there's a new media facility. It's called My Story. And in essence, it's interviews with people in the congregation or loosely connected to the church. They're about 20 minutes long. They talk about something that they're passionate about, their life, their interests, their hobbies, anything. And it's an opportunity for you guys to connect with other people in the church that you may not realise they do or have been or any sort of connections at all. And I've already found some connections yesterday. Now, there's three on the website right now. If you want to know how to get to it, I think we're going to show on the screen there, on the pull-down menu under Media, there's an option called My Story. If you just click on that, you will see the current, I've interviewed John Taylor, James Ring, and Dave Kingswood. I really encourage you to go and listen to them. In fact, there's one you'll be interested to know that John Taylor has made, I think, over 100 people redundant.
Bankrupt, wasn't it?
Bankrupt, yeah. Did I say redundant? Bankrupt. See, that's interesting. I made a mistake there. With these interviews, after the interview, I go away and edit them and I get rid of all the silly stuff or pauses and things that people didn't want to say. So in the editing, it really makes these interviews sound great. So I just commend you to listen to them.
That's it. Yeah, that is. Yeah, and best Radio 4 voice from Malcolm. I've listened to one of them at least.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to John's. Very good. Just to say that the bankruptcy bit, there's a good side to that story. There's a good reason for what he was doing. He's not actually a thief and a con artist or anything like that. I think that's right. So thank you, Malcolm. Yeah, do give that a listen. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. As Matt shared earlier, I'm going to be speaking this morning on this whole subject of healing. But I just want to recap a little bit about what we've been looking at the past 2 weeks. So 2 weeks ago, it was Jeremy was sharing with us about the power of words. And actually, that there is power in the spoken word. And when God spoke, that's how life began. Last week, Matt looked at the issue of prophecy and how God made each one of us with the capacity to hear from him and to share it. And I hope maybe you took on that challenge last week of beginning to look at people and saying, God, what do you see? And beginning to speak that into their lives. As I said, today we're looking at healing. Now, I'm aware that this can evoke various responses within us, depending on what our experience, whether that's been positive or negative. Some of us may have experienced prayer for healing and experienced God's touch and healing in some way or full healing, whilst other of us may have called out to God time and time again and experienced the disappointment of what feels like unanswered prayers. Maybe, like me, it might be a mixture of both. Now, I don't stand here this morning with all the answers, far from it. And we're just taking a small look at healing today. But I do want to look at what Scripture says, and primarily Jesus' view on healing. And as we look at his life and the way that he lived, it may provoke us to think afresh around this whole subject. But before we look at the life of Jesus, I want to rewind 800 years to the prophet Isaiah. Now, he wrote to the insignificant, struggling, almost decimated nation of Israel about something that was coming, someone who was coming that would change everything. In Isaiah 61, he describes the man, the Christ, on whom the Spirit of the Lord would rest. And he said the following. He would come to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. When Jesus begins his ministry, he reads this passage and he applies it to himself. So Jesus came to heal, he came to comfort, he came to restore those who'd been crushed by living in a broken, fallen, and sinful world. He came to bring healing to our minds, to our emotions, to our bodies, to our spirits. And most amazingly, he came to reconcile us with God as our Father. He came to change the whole direction of our lives. And when he begins his ministry, he goes into Galilee and he proclaims the good news of God. And he says this, "The time has come and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Now, just take a minute and think. When we share the gospel message, when we think of sharing it, what do we mean? What do we look at? We focus on what Jesus has done for us through the cross, that he has forgiven our sins and restored our relationship with God. And all this is absolutely true, and it's the most important part. But that opens a door into something bigger. Because the gospel message is bigger than that. He introduces us to a whole new kingdom. A kingdom that is perfect. And it was God's original intent for us to share in with him. And we hear Jesus speak of it in Isaiah 61, but we get a glimpse of it when we look back at the beginning in Genesis and at the end in Revelation. So in Genesis, we see this beautiful garden, this amazing place that God's created where he walks and talks and is with Adam and Eve. And disease, death, and decay were not part of God's original plan. And then we fast forward to Revelation, right at the end in Revelation 21, and it says this, and I love this passage. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" These passages serve as bookends, demonstrating that God's will concerning sin, disease, and death hasn't changed. There was no place in the original creation, and there will be no place in the end when Christ returns. So let's look back at Jesus. In Matthew 4, it provides a summary of Jesus' ministry, and it says this: Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom had come. He taught about life in the kingdom, and he healed people as a demonstration of the reality that God's kingdom was indeed in their midst. Why? Because in God's kingdom, there's no sickness or pain. So healings are a sign of the presence and power of God's kingdom touching earth. Jesus even taught the disciples and us as we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." A bit later on, when John the Baptist is in prison and he sends a messenger to Jesus and he asks, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus didn't go, "Yep, that's me." He says this, he says, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." The message of the gospel and healing are completely intertwined, and Jesus declares that this is testimony that he is the Messiah. further on in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm pushing this point and I keep looking at scripture because I want us to get it. Further on, Matthew again says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In this passage, we see Jesus was motivated by compassion. It wasn't because he had to do it, it's because he wants to do it. He loves us and he wants to bring that healing. It was a natural expression of God's love into people's lives. Jesus healed wherever he went. In the Gospels, it's reported 41 individual accounts of healing by Jesus. But we know there were many more because in John 20, it says Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, many scholars have expressed the opinion that Jesus spent as much time healing as he did preaching. So I think we're getting the point, hopefully. It's clear that healing is an integral part of the gospel message. Therefore, if Jesus is our model of faith and practice, we cannot ignore his healing ministry. So that's what Jesus did, but what does he ask us to do? Well, consider these words that are in John. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, it's words from Jesus, that anyone who has faith in me will do whatever I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Now, there's some discussion over what this word greater means, but it's likely to have inferred more. You're going to do more than what I've done. When Jesus first calls his disciples, they spent time with him. In fact, they spent 3 years living with him, and he trained them, and he sent them out so they might effectively advance the kingdom of God. And he sent them out with this. He says, when Jesus called the 12, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Then a bit later on, he appoints the 72 and he sends them out. And they come back amazed and they say, Lord, even the demons submit to your name. They had been doing what Jesus had asked them to do. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to those who followed him, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. And he said, they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Then we have the Great Commission, the final words of Jesus to his disciples before he's taken back into heaven. And Jesus said, all authority and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Notice here, it's interesting that he says, go and make disciples of all nations, not just go and evangelize. There's a difference. So as disciples, our goal is to carry on Jesus' ministry and his mission. We're called not just to become more like him in character, but in action as well. And kingdom mission, this whole idea happens when we reach out to people in need and offer to walk with them through various challenges. Kingdom mission asks the question, what can I do to bring good news into people's lives? Good news means the injustice is put right, hurt is replaced by love, crime replaced by care, sickness and death are replaced by wholeness and hope. Kingdom mission is more than speaking the message, it's demonstrating it. And God loves to demonstrate his goodness to those he's drawing into relationship with himself. After Jesus is taken up to heaven, we see the ministry continuing in Acts. And God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Now, this is all incredible and amazing, but we live in the reality that we know that not everyone is healed. And we see that even here, because it says Paul prayed for people. And although we see all these amazing things that happened, there were times when folks weren't healed. And actually, not just with Paul, but if we look at the life of Jesus, We even see that Jesus didn't heal everybody. When Jesus went to his hometown, he could not do miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. It implies that he tried. It implies that he was laying hands on more and they weren't all healed. Now, we don't understand all this. We're going to look a little bit at it. I don't have all the answers, but I do know somewhere faith plays a part in healing. But it's not just about that. Paul is the one person, except Jesus, who speaks about faith more than anyone else in the New Testament. And yet we see again some close friends around him weren't healed. In fact, Paul himself suffered from illness. And Timothy, one of his most beloved disciples, suffered from stomach problems. There was another guy called Trophimus, I think that's how you pronounce it, who was with Paul on his third missionary journey. And he was so unwell that Paul had to leave him behind. So why is not everyone healed? Well, I want to go back to the Lord's Prayer that I mentioned earlier, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If we look at this, the clear implication is that God's will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why Jesus asks us to pray it. It's an important point. Not everything here on earth is an expression of God's will. In Colossians, it says, when we come into relationship with Jesus, we have been rescued from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Satan's dominion, his area of rule, is on earth. His agenda is the opposite of God's, but it's only temporary. Jesus has triumphed over and disarmed all the powers of the enemy through the cross. Though the war has been won, the battle continues, and we are still in that battle. But we need to remember that God is not the author of suffering and sickness. Sometimes he will allow it because he has a bigger plan. Sometimes he just wants us to trust. Now, though we may have many questions and unanswered questions, and we don't necessarily find the answers in the Bible does say we will go through times of difficulty and times of struggling and times of sickness. But what we see in Scripture, all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, what we need to hold on to is who God is, the truth of who he is. And it states so clearly that he is a kind, loving, generous, giving Father. And although what we see or experience may seem to contradict the truth of who God is, God cannot contradict himself. God's character and attributes are flawless, and they cannot change. In Romans 8, Paul tells us that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He does not say all things are good, or that God works all things, but rather that in all things God works for the good of his people. He never works for anything else. God doesn't cause it, but he can work through it. Now, another reason that sometimes we maybe don't see answers to prayer, and this is slightly, we'll see, but this whole thing about what I would call lazy prayers, and you might not like this, but sometimes we pray for things that we want God to do that we actually need to be doing for ourselves. Now, going back to this guy called Trophimus, who Paul left behind, it's possible that the Greek word used here, which is translated as sick, could have inferred that he had overworked and weakened his body. And actually, yes, you can pray for God to come and bring healing, but what he needed to learn, possibly, was rest and a new rhythm to what life looked like. God wants us to take care of the bodies that he's given us. So it's looking at, you know, how well do we exercise? What do we eat? Do we rest? What's our recreation like? What's our sleep like? Sometimes we ask God to do things and he's saying, actually, I want you to do this. I want you to care for what I've given you. I want you to care for your bodies. Now, I know I've been on a bit of a journey with that myself with certain things, and I've realized, yeah, I can pray and pray and pray, but God's saying, I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll be with you, but I want you to do some action here. But I would hazard a guess that regardless of this, that our intuitive and in a practical level, almost all of us do believe that healing is right and God's will, regardless of our thinking and our position. Because when we are unwell and sick or in pain, we pursue health. We tend to go to the doctor or the pharmacist or whatever because we want to get well and we feel it's the right thing to pursue. So if we know that healing is good and we see it in Scripture, what do we do with the words of Jesus when it says for us to go and preach the gospel and heal the sick? Is that a bit scary? Is that a little bit stepping out of our comfort zone? Do we do it? Do we leave here and start doing it or not? See, we've got a choice to make. We can start doing it, and maybe there's going to be some embarrassment of it not happening, and maybe we might get disappointed. But I want us to catch hold of something, and there's a guy that actually I think Matt mentioned last week called John Wimber, who led the Vineyard movement. And when he began to be convinced that healing was an integral part of the ministry of Jesus, he and his church began to pray for the sick constantly, every single week, month after month after month. And guess what happened? Nothing, exactly. Absolutely nothing happened. 9 months, nothing. No one was healed. How encouraging is that? Is that encouraging? No, not really. But what happened? Did they give up? No. They kept going. Why? Because John Wimber and the church were committed to being obedient to Scripture. And John Wimber said this, God's word is the fundamental reason that I pray for the sick and receive prayer, even when I do not see healing as a result of those prayers. I decided long ago that if 100 people receive prayer and only one is healed, it is better than if none receive prayer and no one is healed. It's challenging, isn't it? See, one of the most compelling reasons to pray for the sick is not so we see results. That's brilliant. And yes, we want people to be healed. Obviously, that's what we're wanting. But we want to be obedient to what the Word of God says. See, we are called to pray. We're not called to do the healing. We can't do that part. Only God can do that part. But how do we do it? What does it look like if we start to pray for healing? Now, it would be so much easier if God had given us really, really clear structure in Scripture to say, this is how you do it. This is how you pray for people. Follow these three steps. But Jesus healed in many different ways. So we find that the man with leprosy, it was a command. He just said to the man, be clean. To the centurion whose servant was sick. Well, he didn't even need to see the sick servant. He just said to the centurion, oh, your faith's enough. She's healed. For Peter's mother-in-law, he touched her. For the woman with bleeding, that was the woman bleeding that touched Jesus. Jesus had no clue what was happening. And the woman was healed. To the man who was blind, Jesus spat in his eye. Now, if we start doing that, there's going to be some discussion, isn't there? But the list goes on. There is no clear way of how to pray for healing. But what we do see, what we do understand, is that Jesus did it out of love and out of compassion. And that's where we need to do it from, by loving one another, by wanting the best for one another. And Jesus did what the Father told him to do. So we need to be linked with God and hearing him and saying, God, what do you want to do in this situation? What is your plan? What is your purpose? You see, there's not a protocol to follow because he doesn't want us to be dependent on that protocol. He wants us to be dependent on him. The disciples weren't given a method, but they were given something more than that. They were given his authority. In the Great Commission, it states that all authority had been given to Jesus, and he said, now go in my name, go with my authority, and do what I have been doing. So what does that mean? Well, if any of you have got your car keys with you, car keys, show me your car keys. Anybody got car keys? Okay. These car keys have the potential to release a considerable amount of power, but only when? When you use them, when you put them in the ignition. If you don't put them in ignition, these are absolutely useless. You get no power from this on its own. Only when it is linked into the ignition of the car. And then we have power. We need to be linked in to God. See, we have been entrusted with the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But often we say, oh, great, thanks, God, that's great. Great, thanks for the keys. And we stick them in our pocket. Nothing is going to happen. We will not see people healed if we don't do it. Thank you, Rachel. We've got to do it. We can't just say, yeah, this is lovely, this is great. If we don't start going out and offering that prayer to people, they're not going to get healed. It doesn't just happen. God said, you are my arms, you are my feet. Go and do what I have been doing. Matt H., last week, I think again, I think you quoted John Wimber, and you said that faith is spelt risk. You know, it can be risky praying for the sick because we can look really stupid. You know, we pray for something and nothing happens, and we also feel for that person, think, oh, they're going to go away disappointed. But we're on solid ground because we're praying in accordance and agreement with Jesus. And our role is to carry on Jesus' ministry and mission. And I do fully believe that when we pray for someone, something happens. Someone might be completely healed. They might be partially healed. It might be slightly healed. But every time we pray, we bring them into contact with the Father. So we're asking the Father to love them and to bless them. Isn't that good? Isn't that a good thing? And for that person to know that we care enough to go, I'm going to stand alongside you and I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to pray and ask God to bring healing because we know that's the best. And because we know that's the kingdom on heaven coming down to earth. So to sum up, the gospel message is not just a message of words, but of action. And Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God to earth. He came preaching, he came teaching, he came healing. And he says, as his disciples, he wants us to share in this, to share the same kingdom message, to continue what he began. Our responsibility is not the outcome, it's obedience. So where does that leave us this morning? You know, we're talking about this stuff and I'm excited, but it's also challenging, isn't it? But this morning we want to step into what God's saying. Is that all right? Let me get a few notes. Okay. So we're going to pray this morning. We're going to pray for two things. The first thing I want to pray for, I want to pray, I can see you all now. I want to pray that for those of you who are feeling challenged by this and going, do you know what? I want to be bolder in this. I want to pray for people more. I want to take that opportunity, particularly for people that don't yet know Jesus. Because the reality is, when Jesus prayed for healing, it was mostly for those that didn't yet know him. Because he wanted them to see something of his kingdom and to know that he cared, that he loved them. And he came to bring in this new kingdom. So if you're in that camp and you're saying, do you know what? I want to really take that step forward. I'd like you to stand. I'd like you to stand. I'm going to pray that God would bless you and anoint you for healing for others. Okay? So if you want to stand now, if that's you and you think, yeah, I want to branch out more in this. I want to say yes to God and yes to what his word says. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you it's truth. I thank you, God, that you love us and that you want to bring healing and restoration and hope and life to our lives. And you want us to take hold of that and pass that on to others. And I pray for those that have stood and maybe for some of those who want to stand but haven't quite done it. Lord, would you take us from where we are and whatever faith we have and whatever doubts we might have to take us that one step further and saying, yes, God, I'm saying yes to you. And give us that strength. Give us that push at those times. Give us those words to share with people. Lord, for each person here, would you anoint them with that gift of healing? That gift of healing that knows that, yes, that is your heart for people. Holy Spirit, would you just come now and rest on each person and stir them, Lord. Stir faith to believe for more. Stir faith, Lord, to believe for more healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Fighting our battles in every battlefield. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin.